Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Lamed Aleph. Today we will be continuing our discussion of various lashonos that one might use in a neder, and we're going to be interpreting how we would actually apply that neder again based on the principle of Benedarim Holchem Achar Lashon Bnei Adam. So the Mishnayos will list here a number of examples of if you say a certain thing, who exactly are you tending to include, who exactly are you tending, and what exactly are you tending to exclude. We'll have a couple of cases of that on Amud Aleph, and then on Amud Beis, we're going to discuss, again, following the line of Mishnayos, dealing with Benedarim Holchem Achar Lashon Bnei Adam, dealing with sugyas of Arelus and sugyas of Bris Mila, and then starting at the very bottom of today's daf, which we will likely not get to, and then carrying into the entirety of tomorrow's daf, we'll have a lot of agadata about the mitzvah of Mila. So I'm sponsoring today's daf in honor of my chavrusa, who was always very meticulous. My former chavrusa was always very meticulous about eating garlic on Friday nights and reminding others to do so. He knows who he is. The reason for the sponsorship today will become apparent in about 30 seconds. So Hanoder Meshov Se Shabbos. So says the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. If a person is noder that he's not going to have anah from Shov Se Shabbos, from those who hold Shabbos, from those who keep Shabbos, so Osir be Yisrael, he's Osir to have anah from Bnei Yisrael, because they're obviously Shov Se Shabbos, we are Shov Se Shabbos. The Osir Bekutim, and he's also not allowed to have anah from Kutim. So why not? And so the Kutim are also, because the Kutim are also included in Shov Se Shabbos. Again, the Kutim were people who were Mizgayer, there's a machlokas, whether they were Geri Arayos or whether they were Geri Emes, but the Kutim generally held from most mitzvos and isurim doraisa, so they were Shov Se Shabbos, they abided by all of the laws of Shabbos, and therefore, if a person takes a neder against Shov Se Shabbos, he's not allowed to have anah from Bnei Yisrael, and he is not allowed to have anah from Kutim as well. May ochle shum, if he takes a neder not to have anah from those who eat garlic, then Asur be Yisrael ve'Asur be Kutim. Likewise, it's Asur for him to benefit from Bnei Yisrael, and it was also Asur for him to benefit from the Kutim as well, because the Kutim also eat garlic on Friday night. So what's this about eating garlic on Friday night? So the Mefarshim explained that Ezra was metakin that people should eat garlic on Friday night. Why? Because garlic was held to increase a person's potency. Friday night was a lil ona for Talmidei Chachamim, and therefore it was an auspicious time to be eating garlic. So the Rishonim debate whether this applies today. Generally, even if one does not hold that it applies today, there was actually an article in yesterday's Wall Street Journal about how garlic may have properties of being a mosquito repellent. So the summer might be an auspicious time to eat garlic. But in any event, if a person eats garlic on Friday night, if he takes a neder from those who eat garlic on Friday night, he is asur to have anah both from Bnei Yisrael as well as from Kutim. Now, may Ole Yerushalayim, if he takes a neder not to have anah from Ole Yerushalayim, Osir be Yisrael, it is Osir for him to have Hanah from Bnei Yisrael, Umutar b'Kutim, but it is Mutar for him to have Hanah from the Kutim. Why? Because we'll say in the Gemara that even though the Kutim are obviously Mechuyev to be Olal Yerushalayim, the Kutim, to the extent they were Gerim, were Mechuyev in all the mitzvos, however, it was their practice not to be Olal Yerushalayim. And therefore, if the guy takes a neder against those who are Olal Yerushalayim, he intends to include in his neder only Bnei Yisrael, but not Kutim. So says the Gemara, so my Shov Se Shabbos, so the first case we began with was a guy takes a neder that he's not going to be Nene from people who are Shov Se Shabbos. So what does it mean? If it means that he's not going to be nene from people who are Makayim Shabbos, from people who observe from people who are Sabbath observant, so why do we only say that he's not allowed to have anah from Kutim? L'chora, if there is a guy who decides that he is going to be Sabbath observant, even though goy sheshavas chayiv misa, but nevertheless, if there's a guy who practically speaking takes upon himself not to do malacha on Shabbos, then that goy should be included in his neder as well, if what he intends by being noder is that he's being noder from all mekayme Shabbos. So says the Gemara, no, it doesn't mean that it's so long as the guy happens to be mekayim Shabbos, so long as the guy happens to be Sabbath observant, he's included in the neder. Rather, what it means is ela mimitzuvim ala Shabbos. It means that he's taking a neder against those who are mitzuveh on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, ihachi ema seifa. But okay, so I understand. So the neder includes only those who are commanded on keeping Shabbos. Who's commanded on keeping Shabbos? Jewish people are commanded on keeping Shabbos, obviously. The Kutim, who are Gerim, are commanded on keeping Shabbos. A goy, even though he may be Sabbath observant, even though he may observe the strictures of Shabbos, is not commanded to observe Shabbos, therefore he's not included in the neder. But look at the Seifa. The Seifa said that if the guy takes a neder, may ole Yerushalayim, then Osir be Yisrael, it's Osir for him to be Nene from Bnei Yisrael, umutur b'kutim, and it is mutter to be Nene from Kutim. So amai va mitzuvim ninu, why is it mutter for him to be Nene from Kutim? The same way that Kutim are mitzuva in keeping Shabbos, they're also mitzuva in being ola l'regel. So if the criteria for being included in this Isser is that you have to be commanded to keep a mitzvah, the Kutim are commanded to keep every mitzvah. They're commanded to keep the mitzvahs of Shabbos. They're commanded to keep the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel. So why, if you are noder from those who are ola regel, why are you usher only in Klal Yisrael, only in Bnei Yisrael, and not in Kutim? So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye mitzuvah ve'osa katani. So, no, I mean, don't take me so literally. I don't mean that included in the neder are only those who are mitzuveh, but don't do anything further. The only people who are included in the neder, whether it's a neder against Shofsei Shabbos, or whether it's a neder against Ole Regel, are people who are commanded in the specific mitzvah and actually perform the mitzvah. So, Betarti Bavi Kamaisa, in the first two cases of the Mishnah, of both the case of Shofsei Shabbos and the case of Ochel Shum, so Yisrael v'kutim mitzuvim v'yosim. Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, and Kutim are both mitzuvah in the respective mitzvah, and they're oseh, and they actually fulfill the mitzvah. So since they're mitzvah v'yoseh, they are included in the neder. But obdei kachavim, why are obdei kachavim not included in the neder against, why are obdei kachavim not included in the neder against Shofsei Shabbos? Because Ahu da'avdei osim ve'ne mitzuvim. Even though they actually keep Shabbos, or some of them actually may keep Shabbos, they may be oseh, but they're not mitzuveh. And he only intended to cover both those who are mitzuveh and oseh. But ole Yerushalayim, and by ole Yerushalayim, if he takes a neder against people who are ole Yerushalayim, Yisrael mitzuvim v'yosim, it's only Bnei Yisrael who are mitzuveh v'yoseh. They're commanded to be ole regel, and they actually are ole regel. The kutim mitzuvim v'yin osim. Kutim are mitzuveh, but they are not oseh. They're mitzuveh to be ole regel, but they are not actually ole regel, and therefore the kutim are not included in the neder. So to sum up, if a guy takes a neder against people who perform a certain mitzvah, the only folks who he intends to include in the neder are those who are commanded to perform the mitzvah and those who actually do. If you have a person who's commanded to do the mitzvah but doesn't fulfill it, or if you have a person who's not commanded and does fulfill it nevertheless, that person or that class of individuals would not be included in the neder. Okay, says the next Mishnah. Koneim she'eni nene livnei Noach. If the guy takes a neder she'eni nene, that he's not going to have anah livnei Noach from Bnei Noach, mutter be Yisrael, he's mutter to have anah from Bnei Yisrael, v'yosher be Ovdei Kachavim, but he's not permitted to have anah from Ovdei Kachavim, because only Ovdei Kachavim, but not Bnei Yisrael, are called Bnei Noach. So the Rishonim here just discuss the Lashon of the Mishnah, and this Lashon is found in the Mishnayos that follow as well, of Koneim She'eni Nene. So we know that when we've been dealing with Nedarim, the more precise Lashon to use is Koneim She'ani Nene. Why? Because we've been saying that a Neder is the neder by a neder, what are you doing? A neder is an itzer chefza. A neder, you are assering a certain thing on yourself, as opposed to a shvua, which is an iser gavra, where you asser yourself on that thing.
So generally speaking, by a neder, you're saying konem that I'm not going to have ana from this sefer. So it's not that eni nena konem sha'ani that I will not have ana from the sefer. So the Rishonim point out that that many hold that this girsa is an imprecise girsa. It shouldn't be sha'ani nena, that's a lashon of shvua. Rather, it should be sha'ani nena, which is a proper lashon of neder. There are those Rishonim who say, no, it doesn't make a difference. We began the Masechta with the discussion of kinuyim and yados and all of these less formal forms of nedarim that can nevertheless attach as a neder. And one of the yados neder is if you use a lashon shvua. So if you make a neder of a lashon shvua, then it's also a valid neder. So maybe that's why over here we say sha'ani nena, even though the more traditional lashon of neder would be sha'ani nena. But anyway, getting back to the actual content of the neder, if the guy said that he's not going to have ana from Bnei Noach, he's mutter to have ana from Bnei Yisrael, but he's usher to have ana from of the Kechavim, because only the Akum are included in Bnei Noach. So says the Gemara, well, that's strange, because if you read the Chumash, you see obviously Klal Yisrael is Bnei Noach too. So if Yisrael mi nafik meklal Bnei Noach, did Klal Yisrael leave the status of, did they somehow lose their status as Bnei Noach? We descended from Noach as well. So says the Gemara, yeah, but kivan d'iktish Avram iskari al shemayu, al shemay, because since Avram, after basically Avram was chosen and selected as the first of the Avos, we are now considered to be Bnei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. We're no longer considered to be Bnei Noach. So even though, genealogically speaking, we are descendants of Noach, when somebody refers to Klal Yisrael and how to describe Klal Yisrael, they describe Klal Yisrael as the Bnei Avos, as the Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and not Bnei Noach any longer. Therefore, Jewish people are not included in his neder against Bnei Noach. Similarly, says the next Mishnah, She'eni nene lezera Avram, if he says, I'm not going to have ana from Zera Avram, from the descendants of Avram, so also be Yisrael, it's also for him to be nene from Bnei Yisrael, umutter b'ovdei kachavim, and it's mutter for him to be nene from ovdei kachavim. So says the Gemara, Va'ika Yishmael, why is it mutter for him to be nene from ovdei kachavim? Included in Zera Avram is Yishmael, because Avram had Yishmael also as a son, and Yishmael obviously is an Akum. So why is it permitted for this guy to have ana from Akum? Akum were also descendants from Avram Avinu. So says the Gemara, it says, Ki b'Yitzchak yikare l'chazara. Because it says, Ki b'Yitzchak yikare l'chazara. So the Pasuk tells us that the only child who's actually known to be the descendant, or is actually considered to be the descendant of Avram, is Yitzchak, not Yishmael. Aye, but if you look one generation down in the family tree, says the Gemara, so Avram had Yitzchak, and Yitzchak had Yaakov and Esav. Esav again is Akum. So if a guy takes an eder against Zer Avram, why is it mutter for him to have ana from Akum? Akum are also Zer Avram, derivatively. So it says the Gemara, Vayika Esav. So it says, Bi Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. A famous drasha that it says, Ki bi Yitzchak, in part of Yitzchak, I am going to attach your name as their progenitor, but not in all of the descendants, of Yitzchak. So the Bi Yitzchak, Yikar L'Chazara, obviously only refers to Yaakov Avinu, it doesn't refer to Esav. Therefore, if a guy takes an eder from Zer Avram, it comes to include only Jewish people, but it does not include non-Jews. Okay. Says the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah is a little bit more complicated. So She'eni Nene Mi Yisrael. If a guy says that he's not going to have ana from Bnei Yisrael generally, so what should the guy do? So let's say you have a lot of Jewish people who are involved in commerce. They buy things, they sell things. Let's say the guy is in a trade, he does business, and he says he's not going to have ana from Bnei Yisrael. So what's the guy supposed to do in terms of, can he buy anything from his fellow Jews? So says the Gemara, Lokeach b'yoser, he has to overpay for items, umocher b'pachas, and he has to sell items for less than their fair market value. Why? Because again, if he's selling something for fair market value, and he's not allowed to have ana from Jewish people, then when he sells the item, he's obviously getting ana, because he's in business. He's in business to sell items. He's selling his item to a Jewish person. He said he's not going to have ana from a Jewish person. That is That is not good. That is not good. So the Ran points out that this is only where the guy says that he's not going to have Hanah from Bnei Yisrael. But if he actually went a step further and said that he is not going to benefit from the Nechasim that are owned by any Jewish people, then this little trick won't work. Then he's not able to buy the item even if he overpays. Because the only reason that we said he's allowed to buy the item by overpaying is because then he's not going to be nene from the Jewish person, right? Because the Jewish person's ripping him off. The Jewish person is, yeah, he's selling him something, but he's ripping him off. That's only okay if he took a neder against having anah from Jewish people generally. But if he says, I promise I'm being noder not to have anah from anything owned by Jewish people, then it doesn't matter how much you pay for the item, you're still having anah from something that's owned by Jewish people if you buy it. So anyway, it says the Reisha of the Mishnah. The Reisha said that if you say that I'm not going to have anah from Bnei Yisrael, you could sell it to them for less than fair market value and buy from them for more than fair market value. The flip side, She Yisrael Nen in Li, if he takes an eder that Bnei Yisrael should not have anah from him, Lokeach Bepachus, then he can buy for less than fair market value, Umocher Beyoser, and he can sell for more than fair market value, and through that he'll make sure that nobody has anah from him. The seller won't have anah from him because he's underpaying. The buyer won't have anah from him because he's overcharging. So says the Mishnah, Vein Shomin Lo, and we don't listen to him. So what does it mean, Vein Shomin Lo? In other words, says the Ran that you're not going to prevail on anybody to actually buy anything from him, because if he says that people are not allowed to have anah from him, then nobody's going to want to buy items from him, because the only way that he could sell is if he overcharges. The only way that he could sell is if he overcharges. Okay. So says the Mishnah Vayter, Sheini nene lahen vein li yene lov dekachavim. And if he now takes both sides of the nether and says that I'm not going to have anah from Bnei Yisrael, and they are not allowed to have anah from me, then he should be nene from Ovdei Kachavim. In other words, he should transact with Ovdei Kachavim, because if he asers anah both ways, he can't overcharge, he can't underpay, because nobody's allowed to have anah from anybody else in this example. So what he has to do is he has to transact business with Goyim. The Ran says the chiddush is that we don't view this as a neder that's e'efshar lakayim. So we've seen already that if a guy takes a neder that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, and it's impossible for a human being to go without sleep for 3 days, then malkanos of yoshin la'alter. So we say that we give him malkas for violating his neder for bal yachel, and he has to go to sleep immediately, because there's no way he's going to be Mekayim the Nether. So I might think that if a guy takes a Nether that he's not going to have Anah from Jewish people, the Jewish people are not going to have Anah from him, because it's a Nether, we should just give him Malkus, and he should be able to buy and sell from wherever he wants. Kamash Malan, no, this is not considered to be a Nether, because he could always transact with Goyim. Nobody says he has to buy from or sell to Jews. He could just do business with Ovdei Kachavim, and through that make sure that he doesn't violate his neder. So says the Gemara. So Amar Shmuel, Halokeach Kli Me'uman Levakro. If a person buys a keli from an uman Levakro to test it out. So basically, he goes into a dealership and takes a car for a test drive, or he buys something on a trial basis. Venenas biyado, when he gets into an accident, chayev, he's chayev. So he's chayev, just like a shoel is chayev in onsen. So alma, so we see, ksavar anoas lokeachi, that Shmuel holds that the hana goes to the lokeach. Why do we see from here that the anah goes to the lokeach? So the Ran explains like this: by shomrim we have three levels of shmira, and we have three levels of his chayvas. By shoel it's kol hanah shelo. All of the anah is his. Why? Because he's watching the item, but he actually has use of the item. And because kol hanah shelo, he's chayiv in everything. He's chayiv in gneiv and aveda, he's chayiv in pshia, he's even chayiv in onsen. By Yishomer Chinam, on the other extreme, it's none of the hana is his. Why? Because he's not allowed to use the item, and he's also not getting paid for the item either. And therefore, by Yishomer Chinam, where none of the hana is his, the only thing he's chayef for is pshia. He's not even chayef for gnev and aveda, and certainly he's not chayef for onsen. By Yishomer Sochar and Asocher, it's a symbiotic relationship. Everybody's benefiting. The Shomer is benefiting because he's being paid, and the Bailam is benefiting because his item is being watched, but the Shomer doesn't have like exclusive use of the item. It's not like he's actually borrowing the item to use it. He's not being paid to guard it. And therefore, his liability falls a little bit in between. He is Chayev for Geneva and Aveda, but he's Potter from Onsen. So when Shmuel comes and tells me that a guy you buy something as a trial, a Lokeach, buy something as a trial, and then it's nenas biyado, there's an ones, if he's chayev, what we see from here is that by lokeach kol anah shelo, just like by a shoel kol anah shelo, and therefore these guys are chayev in onsen. So now the Gemara is going to apply the halacha, or the idea, the concept of shoel kol, of lokeach kol anah shelo, to the Mishnah, which obviously dealt with Elokeach and a mocher, where the guy takes a neder against having anah from or being mahane other people. So says the Gemara like this: Satnan, she'eni nene mi Yisrael. We had said that if a guy takes a neder that he's not going to be nene from bnei Yisrael, mocher bepachus, he can undersell. He could sell. He can undercharge, rather, sell for less than fair market value. Aval, why can he sell for he can sell for less than fair market value? Because if he cheats himself out on profit, then he's obviously not being nene from his counterpart. He's not being nene from the buyer. Aval shove b'shove lo. But the mashmos is, the diuk is, that the mocher is not allowed to sell to the lokeach for fair market value. Now, why not? He's not allowed to sell for fair market value because he took a nether, the mocher took a nether, that he's not going to have anah from the lokeach. But if you just told me that by lokeach, kol anah shelo, all of the anah is his, then when he sells at fair market value, he's not having anah from the lokeach. The lokeach is kol anah shelo. The lokeach is having anah from him. It should be fine. Aval shove b'shove lo, b'i anos lokeachi, and if the anah belongs to the lokeach, if kol anos lokeach, afilu shove b'shove, then he should be permitted even to sell shove b'shove, because when a mocher sells something for fair market value, it's not the mocher who's being nene, it's the lokeach who's being nene, because kol anos shelo. So says the Gemara, not so fast. Why? Because masnisim bezvina derami alape. The Mishnah is talking about a piece of merchandise that's very, very difficult to unload. And therefore, even though what you're telling me about lokeach kol anah shelo might be true in the case of an ordinary piece of merchandise, in the case of a piece of merchandise that's very difficult to unload, then the hanah would be to the mocher if he sells it b'shove. So therefore, if the mocher said that he's not going to have hanah from the lokeach, and we're talking about a piece of merchandise that's very difficult to unload, not only is he not allowed to sell it for more than fair market value, but is not even allowed to sell it for stam fair market value. The only thing he's allowed to do is sell it for less than fair market value. So says the Gemara, but then look at the other part of the Mishnah. But im kain ema reisha. If so, let's look at the reisha. So it said lokeach biyoser. So it said that he's if he said that he's not allowed to have anah from, if he's not allowed to have anah from Jewish people, then he's allowed to overpay. He could buy for more than fair market value. But if it's a zvina derami alapay, if it's a something that's very difficult to sell, a piece of merchandise that's very difficult to move, in which case, if a mocher can sell it at shava b'shava, the halacha, the hana there rather goes to the mocher and not to the lokeach. So when the guy as a lokeach, in his capacity as a lokeach, says, I'm not going to have hana from a mocher, Why can he only overpay? He should be able to buy even at fair market value if it's a Zvina Derami Alapay. The Mocher is being Nana, not him, so what's the problem? Viod, Ema Seifa, and also look at the Seifa, no part of the Mishnah works. She Yisrael Nanan Li, if he says that that a Jewish person should not have Anah from me, so Lokeach Bepachos, so he can buy for less than fair market value, Umocher Beyoser, and he could sell for more than fair market value. Viid Zvina Derami Alape, and if it's a Zvina Derami Alape, if it's something that's very difficult to move, then afilu shove b'shove, then he should be able to sell rather even shove b'shove. So in other words, if it's the Mishnah doesn't fit in with saying that it's a Zvina Derami Alape, because if it's a Zvina Derami Alape, in many of these cases in the Mishnah, you should be able to do the transaction at fair market value. Because by Zvina Derami Alape, it's the Mocher who has a Hana and not the Lokeach. So your explanation of the Mishnah doesn't work. So says the Gemara, you're right. Seifa b'Zvina Charifa. So the Seifa, we're talking about a Zvina Charifa. We're talking about something that is literally flying off the shelves like hotcakes. And therefore, the Mocher can only sell for more than fair market value. If he said that people should not have enough from him, the Mocher can only overcharge. But he can't sell Shaveh B'Shaveh, because in that case, the Hana is going to be to the Lokeach. And the Mocher was noder that Bnei Yisrael should not have Anah from him. So basically, until now, the Gemara said that the Reisha is talking about Zvina Derami Alape, something that is very difficult, a piece of merchandise that's very difficult to move. And the Seifa is talking about Zvina Charifa, is talking about a piece of merchandise that's literally flying off the shelves. So says the Gemara, but that also doesn't work. So Ihachi Lokech Bepachos, so if that's the case, so we said that other Jewish people are not allowed to have anah from him. So what did it say? Lokeach bepachos. So he buys for less than fair market value. But iachi lokeach bepachos afilu shava b'shava. But even shava b'shava, you should even be able to buy shava b'shava, because here he said that other people should not have anah from him. In other words, the mocher is not allowed to have anah from him. But the mocher is not having anah from him as a lokeach if he's buying an item at fair market value, because if it's a zvina charifa, if it's something that's flying off the shelves and the lokeach is so happy to be able to get this item for himself, it's the lokeach who's being nana. It's not the mocher who's being nana when he sells it at fair market value. So your whole interpretation of the Mishnah basically doesn't work, no matter how you want to explain it. Ella, so says the Gemara, now turning over to Amud Beis, Masnisim Bezvina Mitzia. The Mishnah is talking about a Zvina Mitzia. In other words, something, it's a typical piece of merchandise that neither flies off the shelves nor is it impossible to move. And the Ran explains, by Zvina Mitzia, therefore, if you sell Shave B'Shave, then both the Lokeach and the Mocher have Hana. That's why the Mishnah never gives us an example where the guy could sell or buy Shava B'Shava at fair market value, because in the case of Shava B'Shava, both of them get Ana. And in either case of the Mishnah, the guy either was noder that people should not have Ana from him, or that he should not have Ana from other people. And if one of the parties to the transaction is not allowed to have Ana, then by definition, you can never do a deal at fair market value, because when you do a deal at fair market value, both parties are having anah. So the Ran also explains that the Gemara obviously knew that we could not interpret the Mishnah to be talking about Zvina Charifa or Zvina Derami Alape, because of the obvious inconsistencies even within the Seifa of the Mishnah, as we saw. It was just proposing those explanations in order to elucidate the halachos of who's nene by a case of Zvina Derami Alape and Zvina Charifa. But the Gemara knew, said the Ran, that we always had to be talking about Zvina Mitzia when it comes, bottom line, fine. We always knew that we were dealing with a Zvina Metzia, where both parties to the transaction have anah. Therefore, none of the cases in the Mishnah tell us that we're allowed to sell Shava B'Shava, because you're never allowed to sell Shava B'Shava at fair market value. Good. So says the Gemara now, Udishmuel Bezvina Harifa, and the case of Shmuel, where what did Shmuel say? Again, Shmuel said that by Elokeach, Kolano Shelo is talking about as Vina Harifa. Now, by something that's flying off the shelves, if the Lokeach can actually buy it at fair market value, then he gets all the Anah. He's happy because he bought it. The Mocher is not necessarily happy because the Mocher knows that if he didn't sell it to this Lokeach, he could have sold it to a different guy. So Shmuel, when he said Kol Ano Shelo, was talking about his Vina Harifa. Good. Zatani Kavasi de Shmuel. So we have a raya to Shmuel. Halokeach Kalim in Atagar, Leshagwan Lebes Chamav. If a person buys Kalim from a merchant to send them to his father-in-law's house, V'yamar lo, and he says to the merchant, Imekablu nosa mimeni, ani nosa l'chadmeyem. If they like the gift and they accept it from me, then I'll pay you for the merchandise. Vim lav, ani nosa l'chal l'fitova sanosha behen. And if not, if they don't want to accept the merchandise, then I'm not going to pay you because I'm going to return the merchandise, but I will pay you a little bit because of tova sana. What's tova sana? The fact that I am going to curry goodwill with them by sending them a gift. That itself is worth something. Okay, so then nansu ba'alicha, if the items are nanas, if there's an accident and the items are ruined ba'alicha, if it's on the way there, then you're chayev, because as we said, let lokeach kol ano shelo. Therefore, just like a shoal is chayev in onsen, so too a lokeach is chayev in onsen. Bechazara potter. However, by chazara, when he takes them back, he's potter. Why? Because then he's not a lokeach. The whole reason that he's bringing them back is because his in-laws did not like the gift, and he's returning it. Mipnei shu kenosa sachar. Because he's like a nosa sachar. Because he's like a shomer sachar. And no longer like a shoel, and therefore he's chayiv only in Gnev and Aveda, he's not chayiv in Onsen. Says the Gemara now, a Maisa, Usaf Sira, there was a middleman, the Shakel Chamra Lizvune, he took a donkey to sell the donkey, below Isbin, and he couldn't sell the donkey. Bahadi Dahadar, on his way back to bring the donkey back to the owner, Itnes, there was an accident, Itnes Chamra, the donkey got into an accident and was damaged. Chayve Rav Nachman Lishlume, Rav Nachman was Machayevim to pay the owner of the donkey, even though this was an Ones. Seisvei Rava l'Rav Nachman, Rava asked the Rav Nachman, how could you force him to pay for the accident for the donkey? Nensu b'halicha chaya b'chazara potter. We saw over here, we just said that if the guy buys the item as a trial, or if the guy takes the item to try to sell it or to try to give it to somebody else, if there's an ones in the halicha on the way there, then the guy's chayiv. But if there's an ones on the way back, then the guy's potter. Here the ones with the donkey happened on the way back, so he should be potter. Why did you tell him that he was chayiv? Zarmalei chazara de safsira halachi. Because the chazara, the returning of a donkey driver is the returning of this donkey salesman, of this middleman, is considered to be the halacha. Why? Because if he would find somebody who wants to buy the donkey, even on the door to the house, upon the return, he would of course sell it to him. In other words, you can't compare the two cases. What was the first case? The first case was a case where the guy went to a merchant and bought something because he was giving it to his father-in-law as a gift. So if his father-in-law took it, then it was a good gift and he would buy it. If his father-in-law didn't want it, it's not like on the way back the guy was going to go try to sell it to somebody else. He bought it for a gift. If it was returned, it was returned. Therefore, the chazara is considered to be like a chazara, not like a halacha. By the case of the donkey middle person, so he took the donkey on consignment. He was going to the next town over to try to sell it, but he wouldn't only try to sell it in the next town. Of course, if he found a buyer on the way back, even right near the donkey owner's house, he would sell it. Therefore, the whole trip is considered to be like one big halacha, and therefore he's always going to be chayiv. Okay, so says the next Mishnah. So we'll hopefully get through the Mishnah, and then we'll start the Gemara tomorrow. So koneim she'ani nene la'arelim. So interestingly, now the Mishnah went back to the regular lashon of she'ani nene, even though the previous couple of Mishnayos had said she'ani nene, as we discussed earlier. Just interesting. So koneim she'ani nene la'arelim. If the guy says that I'm not going to have anah from arelim, so mutar ba'arele Yisrael. it's mutter for him to have ana in Arele Yisrael, va'aser b'mulei ovdei kachavim, and it's aser for him to have ana from ovdei kachavim, even if they are mohol. So what's the case? The guy said, I'm not going to have ana from Arelim. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that when the guy says Arelim, he doesn't mean to be explaining or describing a statement, a situation, a fact. In other words, he's not saying, I'm assuring on myself only people who physically have an RL. What he's saying is he's not going to have ana from those who are called Arelim. So therefore, he's mutter to have ana from a Jew, even if the Jew's an RL. The Rush explains, how could the Jew be an RL? It's like Mesach, it's a case of Mesach and Machmas Mila. It's a case where his brothers died, Machmas Mila, and therefore he's exempt from getting a Bris Mila. The Rishonim debates whether a Jew who consciously doesn't get a Bris Mila would be classified as an RL or not. But leaving that aside, the point of the Mishnah is that by Lashon B'nai Adam, when a guy says Arel, he intends to pick up only Goyim and not Jewish people. And the flip side is, if the guy says Shani Nene Lemulin, if the guy says that I'm not going to have enough from Mulin, from people who have a Bris Mila, Aser ba'areli Yisrael, he is Aser to be Nene from B'nai Yisrael, even if they're Arelim, Umutter b'muli of the Kachavim, and it's mutter for him to have ana from Akum, even if they happen to have a Bris Mila. Because again, when the guy says Mohol, he's not describing a physical state of affairs. What he means to say is he's not going to be Nene from people who are considered to be, from people who are known as being Mohulim, from people who are known as being Mohol, which are Jewish people. And now the Mishnah explains she'ena arla kruya elu l'shem of the kachavim, because akum are considered to be arelim, of the kachavim are considered to be arelim. How do we know? Shenemar kichol agoyim arelim, because all of the goyim are arelim. V'chol beis Yisrael are lelev, and all beis Yisrael are arlei lev. But so the mashmos is that the goyim are considered to be arela mamish. Tosfos just explains here that what exactly is the Mishnah doing, bringing rayas from psukim, if by nedarim holcha machalasha b'nei adam? What difference does it make what the pasuk says? But he says that no, even though by nedarim holcha machalasha b'nei adam, we can bring a raya from a pasuk to try to elucidate what the lasha b'nei adam is, to try to back up and support what the lasha b'nei adam is. The Omer, and the pasuk also says vaya plishti arel azeh, when David is describing Goliath, he refers to him as the Plishti Ha'arel. V'yomer, and it also says, Pentis Mechena Benos Plishtim, Pentaluzena Benos Ha'arelim. Lest the Benos Plishtim, the Benos Arelim, be happy. So the Ron explains, why do we have, again, a reference to the Plishtim being referred to as Arelim. Ron explains, why do we have these three psukim? He says, because the first one, you might touch up, no, Arelim doesn't mean Arelim Mamish, it means Arlei Lev, just like it says by the B'nai Yisrael. And if we would only have the second pasuk, maybe David HaMelech called him an Arel, not because all Goyim are Arelim, but because he knew as a point in fact that Goliath was an Arel, because most people are not Nolan Mohol. But by the third pasuk, we see that it's obvious that all Goyim are referred to as Arelim, no matter what their actual physical status. Because it's impossible that in the entire Plishti contingent, there was not one who would have been Nolan Mohol. And therefore, we see that Arelim is considered to be a way of describing Goyim and not a physical condition. Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Musa ya Arla, Arla is disgusting, Shenizgana bar Risham, because Risham are derided by their Arla. Shenemar, Kikola Goyim Arelim. It says derisively that all the Goyim are Arelim. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Gedola Mila, Shenichosar Alea Shalash Eser Brisos, that Mila is so great that 13 Brisos were consecrated on Bris Mila. The Ron explains that the word Bris is mentioned in the Parsha of Mila 13 times. The Tosfos Yontif says that not all 13 references have to do with Bris Mila, but the Torah establishes the link between Mila and the Bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had with Moshe Rabbeinu when he disclosed him the Yud Gimel Midos. And the Tiferes Yisrael explains very nicely that Mila is a sign on us that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Echad. Echad is Begmatria 13. So the 13 references of Bris in the Parsha of Mila are an analogy to Bris, even though not all of them really refer to the Bris Mila. Rabbi Yossi Amar Gedola Mila Shadochas HaShabbos, Mila is so great that it's zocha Shabbos hachamura that you're allowed to do a bris on Shabbos. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha mer gdola mila shalanitla l'moshe atzadek alea mele shah, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not even granted an hour's reprieve, as we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow, on account that he was nechshal in the mitzvah of bris mila for his son. Rabbi Nechemia mer gdola mila shadocha sanagam, mila so great that it's docha tzaras, that you're allowed to cut off a baheres which is in the makam amila. Rabbi Yomer gdola mila shakala mitzvah shasa Avram Avinu l'nukra shalem ad shemal, that for all the mitzvahs that Avram Avinu did, he was only called complete until he got a bris. Mila shenemar shalich lefanai v'yet tamim. After he got the bris, that's when he's considered to be a tamim. Davar acher gdola mila shel molehi lebarach kadosh baruch hu asalama. Were it not for the bris mila, kadosh baruch hu would not have created the world. Shenemar koamar Hashem imlo barisi yomam v'layla chuko shemayim v'aretz. Chukot Shemayim va'aretz lo samti. Would it not be for the fact that Klai Yisrael's Mekayim, the Bris Mila, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have put the natural order in its place? So tomorrow, God willing, we'll continue with the Gemara elaborating on the godless of Bris Mila and how Moshe Rabbeinu was nichshol in that mitzvah.